driving. Bill Lane crosses up Van Vliet. Okie doke move and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the left side. No good. But she's going to get her own rebound. Kicks it out. Kansas Sykes for three.
Got it.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Welcome back for another edition of the Red Zone here on 103.3 WZND. I'm Leo Stauder, your sports director here, and I'm happy to report that our crew is back to 100% staff. Joey Dwyer has finally cleared up some time in his schedule to join us on the show again. It's great to have him back just ahead of his 23rd birthday.
Yeah, guys, I'm big dick. I'm going to be honest. I feel old. Yeah. Like, I feel really... I'm an old man. It's ridiculous. I just want to go back to, like, being 20 years old, because if it was my 21st tomorrow, I'd be going crazy. But 23, what am I supposed to do?
Well, you got that veteran presence with
you. You got wiser with age.
I'm the veteran in the locker room.
You got your COVID year.
And the voice you just heard, there is Joe Kennedy, who's now healed back up from the injured reserve, and he is back here producing the show for us. And we have a jam-packed show coming up tonight. We have two interviews from Redbird Athletics. We have Maddie Exline from Redbird Cross Country coming up ahead of the Redbird Invite. And then we have Katie Weimer-Skirch joining us in the studio in just a few minutes ahead of the Redbird Classic for ISU Volleyball. And after that, we'll have Andrew Avola from the news and sports team join us for a college football segment. And since we have such a jam-packed show, let's get right into it. Let's play that Maddie Exline interview coming up here on the Red Zone. Welcome back to the Red Zone. Leo Stauder, Joey Dwyer, and Joe Kennedy. We're now joined by Maddie Exline from the Redbird Cross Country team. The Redbirds are hosting their first and only home meet of the season this Friday at 5, the Redbird Invite. So, Maddie, just to start things off, how excited are you to finally be able to run on your home campus? First time in 2 years we've hosted a meet. What are the emotions going through before this?
Yeah, we're all excited. We actually are having a lot of teams come this year, bigger than we've had in the past, and so a bunch of us are excited to get out there and compete and hopefully get some fans there, because we also haven't had that in the past couple of years, and like that makes a big difference when you're racing to like have people there like cheering you on. So we're pumped for it.
And obviously COVID has completely changed the way that sports have worked. You talked about the fans. What are some other changes that have happened since COVID and now into this season? What has kind of changed to that you've had to adapt to?
At first it was like the practice schedule and how many people you could run with, but that's kind of gotten better over time. And then after that, just kind of how we travel changed. And then competing-wise, it's just a lot more strict with how you can interact with other teams and how your team camp is set up. And then when you go to the line, everything's more spaced out. So just like little changes like that they tried to make to like make it safer. But it's slowly coming back to how we started, and it's exciting to see.
So is it fully back almost, or do you still kind of have to follow some certain rules at the moment?
I would say it's mostly fully back. I'd say the big difference is probably just like having a mask on before when you're at the line. Other than that, I feel like it's been back to normal, but I know every place we go is the rules kind of change on how strict they are, but yeah.
And so mask-wise, I'm just curious, do you have to wear it during training, like when you're running, and like how often do you have to wear a mask like during the competition?
Yeah, so luckily we never had to wear a mask during competition. For us, we started off with just like at practices, we'd wear it up until the last possible second, then we would take it off, run what we had to run, and then put it back on. So we're lucky on that front that we didn't have to deal with wearing the mask while competing, where I know some teams did have to do that.
I just can't imagine running 6 miles with a mask on. No. That sounds awful.
Like, I'm already trying to breathe hard. I don't need to add another factor to it.
Exactly.
So on a normal day, how many miles do you think you run, or does it kind of depend on what day of the week it is, or how do you do that?
Yeah, so it definitely depends on the day of the week. Like, we kind of have a schedule set up. usually, like, I know for the women's side, we're running anywhere from, like, 40 to up to, like, 70 miles a week. Nice. And then how it's broken up just depends on how hard of an effort you want that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you talked about it a little bit when you were talking about the differences, the line at the start of a cross-country race. I always think that's one of the coolest things in sports, just because it's so chaotic to start a race. What's, like, your mindset getting in there? Is it, like, physical? Is it aggressive? How do you try to, like, break out of that just stagger to start the race?
Right. So, like, the start of the race, like, the main part is, like, getting positioned with, like, the pack you wanna be with, because like, we all start on that line, but it's going to string out pretty fast. And so you're just trying to find yourself in a spot where you know that the people around you are going to push you and you're going to want to run a pace that's, like, where your goal is at. So it can get kind of pushy, but it just is a matter of, like, where the next turn is. Because I know some courses, like, if you're going to take a quick turn, then it's going to be a little more chaotic. But, yeah.
And when you're running, is there ever a point, because I know, like, you're a collegiate athlete, so you're probably super focused on the task at hand, but is there ever a point where you're running and your mind just wanders to something else?
I mean, I would say, like, on a daily run all the time, but, like, when you're competing, I feel like I'm usually pretty locked into the moment. Like, I'm thinking about, okay, where am I going next? Who's in front of me? Who's behind me? Just kind of getting a gauge, and then oftentimes you have your coach kind of there along the way keeping you engaged.
I think that's just as impressive as the actual athletic feat itself, is just to keep focused for the entire run.
You were talking about, like, some differences in the courses. Do you have, like, a favorite course that you've ran on here throughout college, or it's kind of just...
Good question. I really liked Notre Dame, mostly because it was flat.
And you're going
I'm
there?
More of a track runner, and so I like the flatter courses.
And you guys are going there next week?
I think
in two weeks.
Weeks, yeah.
Okay. So you get right back into that, then, your favorite course?
Yep. I'm looking forward to it, definitely.
In addition to the course, one of the more unpredictable things about cross country, especially in the Midwest, is the weather. Sometimes, especially later in the year, you have the rainy, muddy days. When you're running cross country, what's your ideal race weather? Because some people, I'm sure, like that gross weather, and other people maybe prefer the heat. What do you like most?
Yeah, I like the cold. So, like, 50s, like, a cold day, a little, like, frost on the ground, that's, like, a perfect day for me.
Like, but a fall November type day, something
yep.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have, like, a super hot, like, 90 degrees, or, like, 10 or 15 degrees? Like, what would be better in that situation? I feel like it's really hard to balance that, you know?
Yeah. They both have come with their own challenges, for sure. I mean, I just tend to lean towards the cold because I like when I go numb. I think it makes the running easier. But I know some people love running in the heat, but that's not for me.
Oh, my God. Sorry. The going numb thing that got me. I completely
it just makes you go faster.
I feel less pain.
Yeah. So obviously you've been running for a long time. What's like one story, if somebody asks you, what's it like being a collegiate runner? Do you have like a crazy story that you always go to when somebody asks you about your experience?
It's funny. I have to think on that. I feel like it's just more like a lot of little moments over time that like add up to the whole experience. Like, the racing's fun, but the racing's the stressful part. It's like, the team practices every day is like what you're here for, and like just the overall community that it brings. So, yeah.
Okay. And how did you first get into running? Like at a young age, or did it kind of pick up throughout middle school, high school? How did you first get into it?
Yeah, I actually came to running really late. I played basketball and volleyball growing up, and my sophomore year of high school, my coach, who's just like the coach of my high school, was like, I think you could be good at running. So I went out, like my first year, I did like high jump and hurdles, okay. And then my junior I ran pretty well, and so that's when I was like, oh, I guess I could run in college.
did you like it at first, or you're like, oh, I don't know if I really want to start running like this, but then you kind of obviously you came to ISU for it, so
yeah. I wasn't sure at first, because like for basketball, like running's usually punishment. It's usually like
suicide,
you're gonna run because this happened. And so to switch my mindset, I was like, oh, like this is good. But once you like start competing, that's when I kind of got the itch for it. I was like, oh, like I can get faster and faster, and then that's when it stuck for me.
So you mentioned you did high jump, you did hurdles. is there an event that you've done, because now obviously you do long distance type stuff, is there an event you've either done that you wish you could do more or that you haven't done that you really want to try on the track side of things?
Yeah, I've always wanted to try pole vault, but I don't think that would be something I would get to get. On the distance side, I really want to try steeple this year. I think that could be fun to branch out and try a new event too.
Yeah, we had Grace Beattie on the show last semester, and she talked about how fun the steeple is. It's a different mindset to do it, but it is one of the coolest things to watch.
Yeah, it's fun, and it's great for, I feel like, people watching, because you have the water aspect of it.
I know. I was going to say, the worst part of that is probably the wet socks, right?
I haven't tried it, but I am the curious fall, to know how it feels.
That's a long jump.
That's the part I'm worried about,
And so, as a runner, do you watch, like, other runners, let's say, like, the Olympics or national events that go on? I know some people do and some don't, and how do you feel about it? Do you watch?
Yeah, over like the past couple years, I feel like my teammates have gotten me more into the running community and kind of like, oh, they would start talking about pro runners, and so I kind of like picked up on it over time. So I've definitely watched more, and I definitely watch the Olympics, and I'll watch NCAAs and everything like that. But
so were you big into the Summer Olympics a couple months ago?
Absolutely. I love watching the Olympics. I think it's so fun to watch them all compete. I'll watch trampoline. I don't care what it is. Diving. Diving always amazes me.
Yeah.
But I think it's just fun to see athletes compete.
So outside of running, because that's obviously a big part of your daily life, but it's not the whole thing, what do you do after a long run to recover? Or how do you unwind to try to keep your life more balanced outside of running?
Yeah, I mean, fuel is huge. Like, so after a long run, I know my teammates and I will always, like, make a big breakfast together. That's something I always love doing. And then, like we talked about, napping is big. And then squeeze in the little school part, too.
No matter how old you are, napping is important, or at least your sleep. If you don't get a lot of sleep at night, always get that nap in.
Agreed.
So what does your running career look like post-college? Have you given it any thought?
I haven't given it any thought. My big thing is, like, because of COVID, we gained a whole year of eligibility, and so I've been kind of exploring the idea of, like, taking my fifth year and what that means, like, academically and athletically. So that's kind of where I've been at and trying to figure out that whole path, but, yeah.
And if you had a 4x600 relay race between long distance runners and your best sprinters, who would win that, do you think?
600 meters?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Distance?
Okay. And you're more of a... Okay, we'll see.
I bet a lot of them, if you talk to the sprinters, they would not want to be running a 600. No?
Okay. What if it was like a 4x400?
4x400, I think the sprinters would probably have us on that. But if you go up to the 600, I think a lot of them are...
Even the 400, I feel like that's what sprinters complain about a little bit. Mm-hmm. They'll do it, but they won't be happy about it.
Yeah.
We can maybe meet in the middle one day and we'll do a 4x500 or something. Just make it a little different.
Then we could really have a show. Yeah.
The real question is, who would win? Your three best sprinters going up against the three of us in a 4x600.
No way.
You're going to get smoked.
That would be ugly for us.
But I would love to watch it.
You'd be here for it, right?
We were Leo ran. Leo ran in high school.
That's 4 years ago.
Well,
I'm more of a competitive walker now.
No.
I did middle school, you know.
Exactly.
Way back in the day.
Have you ever seen race walking?
Yes.
That's one of the best
Olympics.
Speed walking, they're just...
It's like just such a funny...
But it's actually like hard, I think. Like,
I bet it would be. I think your hips would die.
I watched this this video breaking down how they do it, and the way that their hips and legs have to all move together. There's so much body science. It's crazy. It's crazy. You don't realize that they're peak Olympic athletes. Yeah. It's nuts.
And speaking of that, are there any diets you guys are put into here at ISU, or special treatment that maybe you haven't seen before?
So we have a nutritionist on board who will just kind of talk to us, but it's more just broad knowledge.
Okay.
It's more just about make sure that you're eating enough to fuel what you're doing out there. They're not so specific about what you eat or what you do. Mm-hmm.
So basically you could go to Tri Towers and get whatever you want after a race. It's kind of up to your own discretion.
Yeah.
100%. So what is your favorite dining hall meal here at ISU?
Dining hall meal.
Do you still go there?
I don't still go there, but the quesadillas at Wadi, they had, I was on a strong pick there, where I'd be getting those a lot. That's probably one of my favorites.
I was a big tri patty melt guy myself. That's
tri where always
a
had
lot
the,
of people love those.
Besides the quesadillas, tri always has, the, I think, the best food, usually. Besides those quesadillas, though, at Wadi, those are always
snack. Popcorn chicken night.
That's the best.
The line's there for a reason, okay?
So now that you're living off campus, is there something like after you have an especially hard day of training or you compete, is there a food place around where you're just like, I need this after I run? Just something to replenish.
I mean, Chipotle always.
Okay.
There's not a day on that one.
They're not big Chipotle guys.
Are you bowl or burrito though?
Bowl. A burrito does hit sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. I agree 100% on
okay, that. Okay, is it just Chipotle, or do you have, like, a favorite, like, Qdoba, Moe's? Just overall?
I'm usually burrito, no matter where. Just across the board, I'm usually burrito. Fair. So
I feel like you get the more value with the burrito. If the bowl, they just load you up on rice, and it kind of takes away from the other stuff.
Exactly. And burrito, that's their opinion. Handheld. Like, I don't know. I'm not a bowl hater by any stretch of the imagination, but I just think the burrito is an easier eating experience. But that's just me. We all have our own things, you know. Okay, but back to business. So we talked a little bit about it, but the Redbird Invite is coming up this Friday. Obviously, we want fans to come out and support the Redbirds. Hopefully, we get a win. Is there anything, the last thing, is there anything that you want to say to fans to get them to come out and support?
Yeah, the thing is, like, the best part about cross country is it happens so quick. So, like, the gun goes off at 5 for the woman and 5:45 for the men. And so you just got to be there for that 1 hour pretty much, and you'll see all the action. And we just love to have you come out and support. Like, we work all year for this. So all you do is come out to the golf course. It's laid wide open, and you'll see where everyone else is standing. And we just want you to be there to cheer and support if you have time. So
5 o'clock, our very own Rachel Hickey will be competing in that. And when we come back, we'll be talking more about what's happening at ISU this weekend. We'll have Katie Weimer-Skirch from the ISU volleyball team. That's coming up next on The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
This is Steph Jankowicz from Redbird Volleyball, and you're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZMD. We're getting set for a jam-packed weekend here at ISU, especially with the Redbird Classic happening with volleyball. All three games of that Classic will be broadcast here on WZMD. We start tomorrow with North Texas, and then tomorrow evening we'll have the game against the University of Illinois, and wrap things up on Saturday against the University of Missouri. Now we're joined by Katie Weimer-Skirch from the ISU volleyball team ahead of that matchup. So Katie, welcome to the show very much, and thank you for coming in for our first in-person interview live on the show in a couple of years now.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It's definitely going to be nice. Like, this is the first time we ever have a live show, at least for us three and together in the booth. Katie, you've been here before, so you kind of know how it goes, I guess, but even though it's been a couple of years from now, but it's just awesome to be back in here and be fully together, I guess.
Yeah, so basically what Joe's saying is you're our first guest as the three of us on live air, so no pressure, but we need this to be good.
No, you can consider me a veteran at this
now. Yeah, she is. Exactly. She's a two-time vet. Like, not a lot of people. She's a reoccurring guest on the show now.
Well, we should get you a shirt or something.
Yeah,
we
could. For sure. I'll wear it around campus.
Honestly?
That would be great for our promotion if you could. So we do have the Redbird Classic coming up this weekend, and so you were on the team the last time it was hosted here back in 2019 when you guys beat the University of Illinois, and I feel like that was kind of the signature win in that season, one of the ones that kind of put you guys on the map. What were the emotions in that game? What do you remember from that, and how did that lead to the things you accomplished later that season?
Yeah, that game was definitely crazy. I think the thing that sticks out to me that I still remember is just walking out before the game even started just to warm up and seeing the amount of fans that were there, because Redbird Arena, when it's packed, it's like really hard to play against us. Mm-hmm. Like, that's such a cool environment to play in. And I just remember like feeling so much energy from the crowd, and like, I was just running on straight adrenaline that game. I honestly don't even remember that many like specific points, but like, yeah, that definitely excited us for the rest of the season. And I think definitely led into our success later on.
And you said that it's so hard to come into Redbird Arena and beat you guys when it's so packed and it's a great atmosphere. How much of that momentum did you feel like you lost when you were playing in front of no fans?
Yeah, I think last year was definitely challenging because it almost felt like we were either like scrimmaging against the team or just in practice because there was no fans and like all of the energy had to come from us, which was definitely very hard. And it made us appreciate the fans even more. So we're hoping to get a lot of them this weekend.
And you're talking about against U of I, you're coming in freshman year and everything. How have you changed like mentally, like coming into different games? Because obviously that's a big game. U of I was ranked, I believe, 14th in the nation at that time. How have you changed like mentally preparing for the games?
I think definitely this year, since I am an upperclassman, it's like I just have to go in with confidence because if I don't have confidence, then I can't expect any of our underclassmen to be confident. And we know that we can take on any team that we play against. We're a great team. We have a lot of potential. So I think just staying mentally strong for my underclassmen is probably the biggest thing.
And as an upperclassman now, and you guys have had a lot of very key players leave after last season, how have you kind of embraced this new role as one of the more vocal leaders in the locker room?
It's definitely been a big change because I'm playing a lot more. Like, I'm libero this year, and I'm also captain, so my role has changed a lot. But it's exciting because it's like I get to help out the underclassmen, which is what the previous players did for me, and it's like seeing them grow is exciting. So I have a lot of faith that we're going to get to where we want to be.
So is there a lesson you learned from some of the upperclassmen your first 2 years here that now you take and try to pay it forward with?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I learned from the upperclassmen that graduated last year is that relationships are super important. And like, just because I'm an upperclassman doesn't mean that I can't be friends with like the freshmen on my team first, or like you could say. So just like starting those relationships as soon as they got on campus, I think has definitely helped with our team dynamic. And I love every single person on my team, so I think that's a cool aspect.
Yeah, and it seems like you guys have gotten a lot of really important key transfers and freshmen coming in. Can you just talk a little bit how they've been able to impact this team already pretty early on in their careers at ISU?
Yeah, we've had a lot of underclassmen step up into big roles this year, like Caitlin Loeffler. She's our setter right now, replacing Steph Jankiewicz, who is obviously a great player for us. And she's just finding her groove. Like, I'm so proud of her. She comes in every day and she's just a competitor. She just wants to win regardless of what the outcome is.
Do you like feed off that kind of emotion that you get from other players? And like, does it go down to people that maybe don't really show that emotion, but maybe when it's game time, it does happen to come out?
Yeah, on the court, we're definitely a very live team. Like, yeah,
we can
so
notice
much
that
energy.
On the broadcast, we always see you guys down there. It's like, oh, God, look at them go.
Yeah. Sometimes it might be crazy. A little bit too much, but I think that definitely helps us edge out some of our opponents.
Uh-huh. I don't think there's ever such a thing as too much energy.
I mean,
coach may disagree,
yeah.
But
yeah.
So you guys obviously have had a lot of success, and the program has had a lot of success since Coach Johnson has arrived. Is there any sort of pressure that you feel knowing that you're the top dogs in the Missouri Valley and everybody's kind of climbing up the ladder to get to you?
Yeah, I definitely do feel a lot of pressure, especially this year. Like, we came in as preseason ranked number one in the Valley, and we are kind of a new team. So we have a target on our back, but we haven't really proven anything yet this year, at least. It's just our reputation behind us, but like, there definitely is that pressure there, but I think we can handle it.
And you got it.
This is one of the perks of live injuries. But so you've talked about there's been so many big games in the past year. So do you still get kind of nervous for a big game when you play a team like Marquette a couple weeks ago, or you're facing Illinois or Mizzou this weekend? Now that you've played in the NCAA tournament a couple times, do you still get up for a big regular season game the same way as you would a tournament game?
I think I definitely have gotten less nervous as the years have gone by. Like, my freshman year, I was just always so scared. I would have to like take deep breaths during the national anthem, try to calm myself down. But now I kind of have to be the calming force on the team. So I would say I've definitely learned to control that a little bit more.
And with your schedule, you guys have played a lot of really quality teams. How do you think that helps you going on to the regular season in the Valley?
Yeah, our coach definitely scheduled us tough this preseason, but that's how we wanted it because that's the only way we're going to get better. Because, like, she could have booked us easier teams and we could have won all of our games and had a better record, but that really doesn't matter at the end of the day. It's all about where we're going at the end of the season, and we feel a lot more prepared since we've faced a lot of good teams.
Mm-hmm. And you guys have, like Joe said, and like you said, that you guys really grind your teeth on these really, really good teams. And do you think, like, heading into Valley play, that's something that gives you guys a really big boost as far as your play and as far as your confidence?
Yeah, I would say so. We know that we've played against great teams already, so it's like anyone we face in the Valley, like, we're going to be prepared for. I know a lot of other Valley teams scheduled tough preseasons, so I think they're ready. But I'm just excited. It's going to be a competitive year for the Valley.
And so we talked a little bit earlier in the interview about the energy the team brings this year, that kind of dynamic. And one of the things that's very fun to watch about your squad is how vocal the bench is, or the cheers you guys have that you do when a certain person's serving. Is that something you guys work on in practice? Do you practice the cheers? Do you have certain cheers for a certain situation? Who coordinates all that?
Yeah. So we always make cheers for everyone that serves.
Okay.
Like, for example, when I serve, they go, "Hey, Redbird, it's Katie Weimer-Skirch in the building. Like, it's just funny, and hey, I think that our bench stays engaged, which allows our team to, like, have that great dynamic that a lot of other teams don't have.
And
if you watch
it,
the bench of other teams, they all just look like they're, like, sad.
Does that, like, it helps you keep you loose and, like, it doesn't make you feel so stressed out about the game. Is that right? Like,
yeah,
you just, like, want to, like, keep it free flowing. I feel like this has been a thing under Coach Johnson for as long as I've been here.
Yeah, we know that when we're playing our best is when we're loose and having fun.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're super stressed out and tight, like, we're not going to perform our best. So I think our bench definitely helps with that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
I'm like, are you okay?
I choked on my mask as I breathed in. I had that problem the other day too. It's
tough.
I can't do it. I'm so sorry. But anyway, we've talked a lot about the team. We've talked a lot about the team, but what are some goals that you have personally coming into this season with a more expanded role?
Yeah, I think honestly just becoming the leader that our team needs, which, like, there isn't necessarily, like, an award to get for that or anything, but just, like, feeling that I did everything I could to prepare our team and set us up for the most success that we've had in the past, because a lot of our players haven't experienced that yet. So just reminding them of where we're going, and that kind of for myself.
And is there, like, a player or coach maybe last year that kind of helped you, brought you up to where you are to become a leader, and that kind of tried to show you the ways through it last year that's now made you put up to this leader spot?
Yeah, I would say Kendall Meyer, who graduated this past year. She was the libero last year and kind of took me under her wing as soon as I got here as a freshman. And she's the one that taught me, like, relationships matter and, like, you need to compete with love and all of that stuff. So I would say she was a good role model. I actually talked to her today about, like, the team and if she had any advice and stuff. And yeah, she's a great friend.
Uh-huh. And so to wrap things up here, we heard on the last interview, Maddie Axline gave her sales pitch for why fans should come out to the Redbird Invite. What's your message for fans to come out to the Redbird Classic this weekend?
We've been talking about how we have all this energy, so
yeah, come on.
So if all these fans come, we don't even know what it's going to be like. It's going to be so much.
And you guys are playing the first game, North Texas, at 10 a.m. on Friday. You got to have a lot of energy to be high energy at 10 a.m. on a Friday.
Yeah, I'm going to be waking up at like 7 a.m.
Any coffee before the game, or not a coffee person?
Don't tell my coach, but yes. Tell her I drank water.
Okay. Yeah, well, no. Okay.
I'll talk to Johnson.
You just show up, you're super hydrated.
I'm very hydrated.
Like, you are
yes.
So ready to go. But yeah, everybody's got to go watch, especially the 7 p.m. Friday against Illinois. You talked about it, how last time it was so packed, and I hope to God it's like that again, because I was at that game. It was electric.
It was insane. Yeah.
Electric.
It was.
Great work.
Electric
for it.
Advert right there.
And so if you want to see the Redbirds play this weekend, you can win a free Red Alert Pass. Joey has the live read for that real quick if you want to do that promo, Joseph.
Oh, my goodness, I do. Thank you so much, Leo. Redbird Athletics is welcoming back fans, and WZND wants to give you VIP access. The Red Zone is giving away a Red Alert Pass for admission to all games during the 2021-2022 school year. You must be an ISU student to win. There's only one winner that can claim this Red Alert Pass today, so call right now. That number is 309-438-1033. That is 309-438-1033. Call now to win your Red Alert Pass.
Thank you very much for that, Joey. And we'd like to thank Katie for coming on the show, previewing the Redbird Classic with us. It was great to have an in-studio interview again, and wish her the best of luck this weekend. And when we come back, Andrew Avola will be on the show to talk some college football. You're listening to Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
Hey, this is Dickie V, baby, and you're listening to the Red Zone, baby, only on 103.3 WZND.
Back here on the Red Zone, Leo Sauterer, Joey Dwyer, Joe Kenny, and now we're joined by Ottawa's very own Andrew Avola.
The man.
Andrew, welcome back onto the show. Andrew's Joey's assistant in the production department, but today we're all equals here as members of the sports department.
Yes, we are.
You got that right, though. I like that assistant right there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, don't talk down to my boy Andrew.
I might be gunning for the job coming up soon. You never know.
And that,
yeah,
for it. That's true. I could get fired at any moment. He's like my vice president. He's like, he's ready to take the oath of office right after I get canned.
Heartbeat away. And Andrew's here to talk about some college football. And you know, it feels like we're finally getting into the swing of things in college football, because the first couple weeks, it's always a little hard to know where the real contenders and pretenders are, because you do have teams playing FCS schools or in Alabama.
Texas. Every year. Literally.
You know, you got teams facing Mercer and the Citadel. But last weekend, it felt like there were some real good matchups, especially early in the season. And that's what makes college football so fun. And maybe something we were missing last year was those very, very good non-conference matchups, because you had like the Big Ten only played conference. And I think the ACC was like that too. Last weekend finally felt what real college football was all about.
And the fans, like... You can't forget about these fans. Like, a lot of these Big Ten teams, SEC teams, but, like, these fans back, this creates such a big difference. Like, in college football, wow.
Hearing Enter Sandman at Virginia Tech again with a full stadium, that was just
insane. I just got chills, like, right now. Think of the Penn State-Auburn game on this upcoming Saturday and that whiteout, Death Valley. Oh, I want to go there so bad. But let's talk about this, or last weekend. What do you want, Andrew?
You know, like you mentioned, the fans, it's been awesome seeing everybody back in the stadiums. The game that I honestly probably had the most fun watching this past weekend was, I'd have to say, you know, I'm not a big Ohio State guy or an Oregon guy, but Oregon-Ohio State, that was an awesome game. Just back and forth, the entire second half. It, honestly, probably one of the best games we'll probably see this season.
And it really reminds you, too, of what's so great about college football, because when you contrast that with watching the NFL, like, it seems like a lot of NFL games are pretty much foregone conclusions as far as you pretty much know who's going to win. But college football, anybody can beat anybody on any given Saturday. And, like, going into this game, I don't know.
Outside Bama, though.
Yeah, it's true. But I don't know as much about college football as like Joe does. He's a diehard guy. But I thought for sure that Ohio State was going to come away with the win. But watching that game, it was so electric. And you could feel the Oregon fans just like, oh, it was just, I love it. I love it. Yeah. I love it. Having football on Saturdays is the best.
And Ohio State, I just feel like they're a team this year that... they just haven't looked good. They have had a ton of penalties, especially on the defensive side. And also their play calling and defense has just been pretty bad. Like against Oregon, C.J. Verdell scored almost 3 touchdowns on the same exact play. And Ohio State just was not changing up their concepts at all. And I was just like, what are they doing with that?
And so talking about that a little bit, Joe, Ohio State. So I feel like the last 4 or 5 years in college football, it's always been Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and then a huge drop off before you get to the number 4 team. But Ohio State has looked a little human this year. They're still probably the best team in the Big Ten. But against Minnesota, they looked like they were struggling for 3 quarters in that game. They lost to Oregon. This might be a year where maybe some, because some of the traditional contenders aren't contenders, are retooling. Because we saw Clemson lost to Georgia in week 1. Obviously, Bama's still Bama. But I feel like this season, it's way more open in college football.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that it's way more open. We were talking about that a little before the show. I noticed that, too, really, through the first 2 weeks. There really isn't that guy in college football that's like, you know, the superstar player that's like, you know, a big Heisman favorite going into the year. You think about it, in years past, you've had Trevor Lawrence, you've had, you know, Justin Fields, you've had so many guys coming in the past couple of years. You can name Justin Herbert the year before, so many guys. This year, there's not that player that's hyped. And I feel like, you know, obviously there's good teams, but everybody's kind of like, you just don't know. Yeah. Anybody, as you mentioned, anybody can lose any day, and it's going to be real interesting to see.
The one player that I think is the best in college football right now plays for Oregon, didn't even play in the game against Ohio State. And their second best player on their defense, also for Oregon, didn't even play in that game either. But Kayvon Thibodeau, like,
he's one of those edge rushers that any team will move up in the top three. He'll probably be, at the moment, top three pick for sure. Yeah. Maybe in a number one pick, because Spencer Rattler is really falling, not really falling down right now, but he's falling down from where he was at the beginning of the season. But Kayvon Thibodeau is the one guy that I think is the top prospect, and it's just crazy how they beat Ohio State.
And that says something about Oregon, that they were able to beat Ohio State without the best, one of the best players in the nation. And that begs me to ask the question is, how legit is Oregon this year? Do we think they're real legitimate playoff contenders? Are they, because there hasn't been a Pac-12 team in the playoffs since Washington, what was that, back in 16 or 17? So if the Pac-12 has been on the outside looking in for so long, is Oregon finally that team that gets the Pac-12 back into the playoff?
I could see it. You know, they played well enough without two of their best defensive players that, you know, they looked like, if, you know, maybe if they had those guys, they would have had a bigger impact on the game. And who knows, Ohio State might not have had it as close as it was. I think they have a legitimate shot if they, you know, don't struggle too much in the Pac-12 and kind of just roll their way through. Because let's be honest, Pac-12 is not the strongest conference, Power 5 conference, really, in the country.
Right. This year,
there's some teams that are good. Yeah, the UCLA's look good.
They got some dudes.
They'll be decent. And Oregon's, their offense is pretty good. Their rushing offense has always been good.
Yeah.
And Anthony Brown, their quarterback, he's a dual threat. Oregon always seems to have that dual threat. But C.J. Verdell, he's an animal. I feel bad for Ohio State. They had to face Ibrahim from Minnesota and then C.J. Verdell, the two leading rushers of the NCAA over the past 3 years. So it's like, kind of stinks for them, but I still see Oregon as definitely a team that could sneak into that top four. Maybe not even sneak in.
Yeah,
I think they are number four heading into this week, actually. Mm-hmm. They jumped up eight spots, I believe.
And just by looking at their schedule, they don't really have, you know, another ranked opponent on the schedule at the moment right now. So if they can go through undefeated, you have to think they probably are a shoe-in for the playoff if they get that way. Mm-hmm. And so real quick, let's go to another top 10 matchup. I know this is one that's near and dear to Joey's heart. It would be Iowa taking down Iowa State.
So
you want to start that off, Joey?
I will. So, you know, being
you support more,
being a good old Iowa boy myself, I'm actually much closer geographically to University of Iowa.
Yeah.
That's only like an hour away. Right. Ames is in the middle of the.
That's far.
The thing is, you have to remember, so that means I grew up around all of these annoying Iowa fans.
I don't like
so
Iowa.
I've always leaned more towards Iowa State. I'm a big Cyclones guy. I'm a big State guy. That's why I'm here and not at the school down the road.
Uh-huh.
But it's always fun. I wish I could have gone to tailgate that. I had some friends who went and it looked like an absolute blast. Two fan bases exchanging some unpleasantries is always fun.
Right.
But man, did Iowa State get outclassed. It was
like Iowa seemed to just
After that Iowa State Northern Iowa game, I was a little nervous for Iowa State because Northern Iowa, they're FCS school, they're in the Missouri Valley. Not to hate on the Missouri Valley because we got some good teams.
We got some dogs.
But I mean, it was just that scared me. And then this game against Iowa, who I don't know, it may be just because I don't like Iowa because I'm never sold on them as a team. I never think they're that good. But
it's their defense, man.
Three
interceptions.
And you know what? Brees Hall is legit.
Yeah, but
for
Iowa
State.
He kind of got shut down.
He got shut down.
But not much. I mean, 16 carries, 70 yards for him. But that Iowa defense, like, it's always like that. Leo and I were talking about it kind of earlier.
I'd say Iowa, they'll never be an Ohio State or even like a Penn State type school where you're contending for national titles.
Yeah.
But this is what they're always, you know, almost a lock for 10 wins in a season.
Yeah.
They're going to play really good defense and then a clock management style offense where you just run the ball, have good offensive linemen and tight ends. And they've built a very consistent program by doing that, by taking these 2-3-star recruits, developing them over 4 years, and just turning them into some big boys that could shut down teams like that, a team like Iowa State that maybe doesn't have that same caliber of athlete, but you could shut them down just by very good defense and schemes.
I will say, I was watching the game, and they showed Kirk Ferentz, and he's looking a little old.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he's been there for a long time. He's looking a little aged. He brought that program really, really up, though. And, like, people were kind of saying, like, oh, we might leave. Like, USC.
Those Iowa boys.
He would have left if he would have left.
That's what I respect about Ferentz.
Yeah.
Almost like how Brock's back here. He found a job that he was the right fit for, knew his role, and made the most, built that program, mm-hmm. and has stayed there because he knows his role. He's not going to try to maybe replicate that at a program where you're under a bigger spotlight. He's found the right fit and has just really thrived.
And those boys are corn fed over there. There's those are some good Iowa boys
over
there.
You know
I know it all too well.
Now, let me ask you this. So the Cyclones, obviously, last year, they just missed the college football playoff. They finished with one loss. Mm-hmm. Brock Purdy got benched on Saturday, actually, during that game. He threw three picks. If the Cyclones, you know, go straight pretty much the rest of the season, say they win the Big 12 again in the Big 12 championship game, do you think they could have a chance of making the playoff by the end of the year?
I think they've just looked
clear. Well, so say if they beat Oklahoma, though.
I don't think they've looked put together.
I think they're going to have another loss.
Like the first two games, they've gotten, like, it's Northern Iowa.
Exactly. if you're Iowa State in that game and you're coming off winning the Big 12, you have to cream UNI. Like, UNI.
And they were saying, like, oh, the coach was like, oh, we don't want to show them their playbook. I have a couple of friends go to Iowa State. Like,
yeah, okay.
Coach didn't want to show them the playbook.
But you want to win the game, too.
Didn't want to show Iowa the playbook for next
week. Well, I guess it worked. I guess it worked.
Yeah,
no,
totally worked, guys.
That's so dumb. It's not, you're not trying to hide your cards.
Mm-hmm. But what Andrew was saying, though, if Iowa, they're going to be a quality program this year, but
Iowa's going to be good.
Iowa State can somehow beat Oklahoma in the regular season, then maybe, but that probably means that you'll probably see Oklahoma again in the conference championship.
That's what I mean. If they can beat them twice in 1 year, I feel like they should deserve a chance. Yeah. I mean, last year they lost to, was it Louisiana Lafayette early on in the season like that, and they won out, and you know they just missed it. They were like the number five team right on the outside.
Yeah.
So I mean, it just really depends on how the year goes for them, because I still think they got a really, you know, solid team, a lot of players back. You know, they could definitely make some.
I think the roster's looking okay, but it's just with the two games that they've had so far, they haven't looked good. So I think something needs to change. Mm-hmm. In order for them to have a shot at repeating the success they had last year.
And what about this weekend? You want to take a look ahead to this weekend, give out some games maybe we'll be looking at coming ahead?
Yeah, I mean, how could you not talk about Alabama, Florida this weekend? One versus 11.
I don't know.
Everybody's out on Florida. I mean,
their quarterback situation.
It'll be a fun first three quarters.
They got Emory Jones and the other guy.
I think Alabama will win, but I think it'll still be a fun game.
And they are at Florida.
Yeah, it's in Florida. Yeah, it's gonna be tough to play down there. Yeah. You know, you never know. Alabama's defense. I mean, how can you?
It'll be one of those games where Florida hangs with them for like three quarters. Yeah. Alabama distances it, and then Saban just gets all sulky in the post-game press conference, like, "Oh, nobody's job is safe, and we just have to work better next week," and then uses that to fire them up afterwards.
Let's not forget though the SEC championship last year though. Alabama, Florida, it was only a one touchdown game.
Yeah.
So I mean, they kept things close then. It was weird. Kyle Trask, that's a big loss for them. Kyle Trask was really underrated, I think, and maybe even has a chance to succeed over Tom Brady down in Tampa Bay. So you never know down there. He's still in Florida. He's a Florida boy.
Well, Tom only has, six more years in his career? Yeah. So
maybe seven.
Yeah.
Maybe played a 50.
But there's some good games. Like, we were talking Auburn, Penn State.
Ooh, that'll be a good one.
That's going to be great. We got Cincinnati, Indiana. That's going to be a really good game at Indiana. Cincinnati's an eighth-ranked team. In Indiana, they had a tough loss against Iowa. So Iowa already with two great wins. Indiana already 1-1. And we also got Michigan State, Miami. Shout out to my boys. They're playing Miami going down to South Beach. And then, we got Alabama, Florida. And then Arizona State to wrap things up at some night action.
It's going to be a fun weekend. Joe's not getting off his couch all day on Saturday. I think if you look at his step counter on his phone, it might be under 100, and that's okay. That's how you should spend your Saturdays.
That's how
watching
Saturdays.
College football all day, maybe grilling some good food, too. But that's all we have for this segment. Until then, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with one of the best segments we do here, the Pick Six. That's coming up next on the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
This is Illinois State men's basketball point guard Parrish Lee, and you're listening to 103.3 WZND, the Pulse of Redbird Nation.
And we're back here on Pick Six. Joey's getting excited. First time we've had
big week.
First time we have both of you for the Pick Six. This is big. This is big having the energy back.
Yeah,
back we got the full show together.
We've only done the college basketball picking with all together and everything. So
just the fact that past 2 weeks I've had different co-hosts and stuff, it hasn't been the same energy. It's good to have both of you guys back in
the
here.
The vibes are back in this.
Yeah,
and we got
good.
AE Andrew Evola here to join us with the guest picks.
Hey, I will say, I don't know if this is confidential information, so come over and punch me, but back in the old Ottawa, my boy's nickname is Sauce.
They call him Sauce.
Oh, that's his PSN name.
How many people know that? Nah, but no, that is a fact. That is a fact. I will admit it.
So we got Sauce in the stew. Ready to go.
Yes, sir.
So this game, the pick six. Joey, want to bring our audience up to speed on how we play this game here?
I do, Leo. So we have six NFL games that we're going to go through. We're going to pick the winners. We've got our standings for every week, and then we go through the entire season, and then the winner gets bragging rights. And I think we should install a punishment for the loser, but we got to talk about that off air because I'm sure there's going to be some brainstorming going on. But right now, the standings sit at Leo at 4-2, the guest spot 4-2, and then me, Joe, and our faculty advisor, Steve Cease, all tied. All tied at 3-3. So it's anybody's race so far. We always expect a little dip off from the guest because the guest spot is usually sitting down there at the bottom. But Andrew's looking to keep it going.
Yeah. Fernelli and Blake Hornstein did a good job picking those games last week, and we'll get things started. I guess it's only fitting that the person in first place goes first, introduces everything.
After 1 week, okay, guy.
Hey, second place last year. But so first game, we got the New York Football Giants versus the Washington Football Team. Big matchup on the gridiron here. I'm going with the football team here. I really like their defense. I don't know about their quarterback situation. That makes me a little iffy. Tyler Heinicke looked good in that playoff game last year, even though they lost. I think he could get through against a very flawed New York Giants team.
Yes. Oh, this one's really tough. I think it's really going to be a close game. I think that the Giants, they did a really good job against the Broncos with their rush defense and everything. And Taylor Heinicke, I don't know much about him. I'm still gonna go Giants.
Okay.
Mark it down right now. Going a little upset right there. People are sleeping on him, and Heinicke started one game.
Yeah, I mean, part of me wants to go the Giants, but you know, football team coming into this year was one of the, you know, better teams really in the NFC, obviously besides the Buccaneers. They were predicted to be with Fitzpatrick, and then obviously they lose him. But Heinicke's proven he can play a little bit when he gets in the moment. I mean, he played in the playoff game last year against the Buccaneers. Didn't look all too bad. Their defense is solid. I mean, their offense is solid too, besides the quarterback position a little iffy. But I'm gonna have
but
to
it was
the
like that
team.
For them last year too.
That's true.
Really
that is true. But yeah. I'm going with the football team.
I'm also going with the football team. I don't know if y'all saw that Terry McLaurin catch last week where he's bending backwards over and he like barely tracks it and gets like one butt cheek in bounds. But that was far too athletic for me to pick anything else. So we're going with the football team.
Steve Cease is also going with the WFT. So everybody except Joe picking Washington here.
Going to step ahead of you guys on that one.
He likes having the things divided here. So for our next game, it is the Sunday night game, I believe. Kansas City Chiefs versus the Baltimore Ravens. I'm going with Mahomes and the Chiefs here. I really like them. Not much to say about that one, just because I think the Chiefs are loaded here. And this will be a good test for them, though.
Yeah. The Ravens always play the Chiefs well, too. I feel like the Ravens are always kind of in there with the Chiefs. Have beat them also a couple of times in the past couple of years. But it's the Chiefs, and it's early on in the season, and I don't think they're going to lose yet. So I'm going Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you. The Chiefs, they looked really good against the Browns. They struggled early on, and the Browns were dominant. And then, you know, Mahomes is Mahomes, and Tyreek Hill is Tyreek Hill. And they came back and won the football game. I just don't think the Ravens will be able to keep up with that high-powered offense.
Nothing new I can say. Chiefs.
Yeah, Steve.
Steve's going with the Chiefs here, so it's a clean sweep. For our next game, we got the Monday night game. It's the Detroit Lions versus the Green Bay Packers. This is a little bit of a free pick. I mean, I think it's going to be a Packers sweep here, but we'll hang up and listen here and see what everybody says. But I'm going with the Packers here. It's too easy. Lions, they're bad. Packers, even though they got beat last week, they're good. Yeah, Packers should win this one.
Shout out to Dan Campbell, the Lions head coach. He's
a dude.
So much energy. And that comeback, though, they had last week, even though they didn't win against the 49ers, that was still a really great effort that the team put in that you would never would have seen with Matt Patricia. With that being said, I am taking the Packers, though.
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, the Detroit's not very good football
Sorry,
team.
Sorry, Steve.
So, I mean, we got a couple of Detroit Lions fans here in the office, and I just feel bad for them. But Green Bay can't deny it.
And see, this is hard because, you know, recency bias is creeping in, and I'm like, okay, the Lions, they played well against the 49ers,
Joey,
and the Packers looked like
Joey better do
looked
it.
Like Don't garbage it. Against the Saints.
Oh man!
But then I remember that was Jameis tearing them up, and Jared Goff is no Jameis Winston. I'm gonna say that right now. So I'm going Packers, but it's close. Like I had to think about that one.
All right, I was worried we'd have to give Joey a mulligan, let him pick over again or something here. He made the right pick, we think. Steve Cease also going with Green Bay. So another sweep here. Hopefully this next game will divide people up a little bit because this is a tough one. This is one that I even put my bias aside, had to really think about Chicago Bears versus the Cincinnati Bengals. It's the Andy Dalton revenge game. Bears coming off a tough loss last week. Joey Burrow hanging on to get the Bengals to win in overtime last week against the Vikings. I'm going back and forth on this still right here.
Come on.
I'm going with the Bears here just because I have to. This is my one homer pick of the season. If they fail me this time, I'm picking against them every week for the rest of the season. I still think, even though the Bengals looked good against the Vikings last year, I think the Bengals are, or the Vikings are bad, so it might have just been beaten up on a bad team, and they still barely beat them. So I'm going with the Bears.
And the Bears, they were in the game against the Rams, how terrible they were. Like, that's one of the best teams, top five team in the league. Bengals, they're good. Andy Dalton revenge game. So Bears defense can't get much worse than what they were. So I'm going with the Bears.
Yeah, I mean,
close one though.
You diehard Bears fan, gotta go with the Bears, even though the struggles was, you know, did not look good Sunday night. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Bengals are just, I mean,
the Bengals
they
got, are they good got a lot though. Of young like, star, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Stars.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I gotta go with the Bears.
And Leo loves calling me a meatball for picking the Bears. And then all
Joe,
three,
you do
of
it
you,
every week.
All three, all three of you coming in. The Bears in this game. I'm also gonna pick the Bears. but here's the thing, I'm picking the Bears because I'm openly a meatball fan. I think the Bengals are gonna win.
You would have picked them regardless.
I think the Bengals are gonna torch the Bears, but I'm still picking the Bears because I love them to death. They're my team.
All right, that might be your downfall again this year. Well, hey, Steve, you do you, buddy. Steve's also got the Bengals here, so we're divided, all of us against Steve, so we'll take that. Next game, I feel like this will be a divisive one. We have the LA Chargers versus the Dallas Cowboys. These are two teams that did look pretty good in their respective matchups in week one. I really like the Chargers here. I'm a big Justin Herbert guy. I'm going to go with them again this week and see what happens here.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. And Chargers really improved their offensive line. Cowboys lost their best defensive player in Lawrence, so that's going to hurt them a lot more than people might expect. Don't know exactly how long he's out for, but it's going to be a battle on that offensive side for both teams, but I'm going Chargers.
Yeah, I'm going with the Chargers, too. I love Justin Herbert.
He's a dog.
He's a dog. He definitely is. He's one of my favorite young players in the league right now, so I got to go with the Chargers.
Yeah, I love the Chargers. I've loved the Chargers since the LaDainian Tomlinson days. Ooh. Like, I have always been a huge...
I got his jersey. His baby powder blue jersey. Yeah,
I've always been a huge Chargers guy.
Yeah.
I think this game is going to be so fun to watch. I think it's going to be an absolute shootout because these are two high-powered offenses, but I think the Chargers have the slight edge defensively, especially with Lawrence out for the Cowboys, so I'm going Chargers, but I'm not super confident. I think the Cowboys could flip a switch offensively and torch them.
Steve Cease also agrees with us, going with the Chargers, so another sweep. We'll see if this last game keeps that trend going. We have the Seattle Seahawks versus the Tennessee Titans. I really like the Seahawks here, despite the fact that my roommate's a diehard Seahawks fan, so they always annoys me picking for them, but I really like them this matchup. So I think that Russell Wilson will have himself quite a day and get the Seahawks to win.
Yeah, Pete Carroll undefeated in home openers for the Seattle Seahawks, and I think he's going to keep that streak going. Taylor Lewan of the Titans got tossed around by Buda Baker, and obviously Chandler Jones, who had 5 sacks. Still could see the Titans pulling something out here, getting maybe something positive going through, maybe keep it close, going to one of the most raucous environments in the NFL in Seattle. But I'm going to go Seattle, but probably like a 7-point game, something like
that. Yeah, I would have to agree with on that. Seattle's all the way. I mean, Tennessee just did not look good at all this past weekend. Like I picked the Titans to beat the Cardinals because I thought, you know, the Titans offense was good, and then they just did not perform at all. And it's so tough to win in Seattle. It's one of the toughest places to win in the NFL.
In the interest of, one, keeping this segment entertaining, and two, trying to get an advantage in the standings, I'm going to pick the Titans. Mm. I think last week was a little bit of a fluke. I think they weren't able to establish their offensive game plan, and I think that put the whole team behind. They want to run this offense through Derrick Henry, and I think that the Seahawks front seven is pitiful. I don't know why. I don't know. Can someone tell me, please, why everyone says that Bobby Wagner is the best linebacker in the league? Because he's not.
Maybe if it was like 2014.
Thank you. He's not. And I'm not sold on anyone on this Seahawks front seven. I think their offense is good, but so is the Titans. And I think the Titans, I'm a big...
Titans offense?
I'm a Ryan Tannehill believer.
Yeah.
And I love A.J. Brown. I think Julio is sick. Derrick Henry, obviously. I think this team... I think the Titans... I truly believe the Titans are going to win.
Titans defense, though, kind of a little shaky.
Kyler ran all over them.
Kyler and
DeAndre
then,
Hopkins, too. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, though, is obviously one of the best receivers in the league, but they just really.
I think it's going to be close,
them.
Though.
It's gonna be,
I kind of like I like what you just did, though.
I respect Joey playing the strategy here a little bit.
Steve C's going with the Seahawks, so it's everybody against Joey here. We like that here.
Me against you guys with the Giants football team one, too. So,
and so that
got some beef.
It wraps up the pick six here, and it's another jam-packed weekend here in Bloomington Normal with sports. We have the Redbird Classic going on all weekend, the Redbird Invite at Wyburn Golf Course. And wrapping up things on Sunday, we have the Fell Hall World Series, WZ&E versus TV10. All four of us will be repping WZND in that. I'll be the coach, and it's gonna be a fun day.
So let's talk about some matchups really quick for this Fell Hall World.
What do you think? Have you taken a look at the starting lineup and maybe defensive positions yet, or not really in your game plan yet?
Not really thinking it. I think we're having a practice on Saturday, gonna see who really earns it. Mm, I'm not given starting positions, but you have to earn it.
Welcome back to the Red Zone. We're here with Fell Hall World Series WZND coach Leo Sonner. Leo, big game, biggest game of the year this weekend. You were talking about how you're really looking for guys to step up and be what you want them to be. What are some things you look for in these players?
Compete, work ethic, grit. All those things you can't measure, the will to win, all that and more. I had an interview with a reporter from the Dead actually about this. I'm not even joking.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, I did.
Let's go.
I went along those runs. I meatballed it up, and I'm like, it's like, okay, wait. Don't. Maybe print
Leo's,
that, but like,
Leo's in there.
Because it was
the record.
It was over the phone, so like, she probably couldn't pick up on like my sarcasm or like know my conversation style.
Probably
so like,
not.
She probably thought I was being serious. So it's like, oh, wait, I'm just kidding, just so you know. I just hope everybody has fun and all that stuff. But like,
Leo's sitting there like, we got a team full of me guys right now, and that's just not going to fly. We need we guys in this locker room, and until that happens, I don't think we're going to be able to compete at a high level.
Yeah, this isn't Burger King. I can't have it your way. It's my way or the highway, all that good stuff. But that will just about wrap things up on this show. We had to fill a little bit there at the end, talk about the World Series. Joe could play the right sounder. We'll get out of here quick, but we'd like to thank our two great guests on the show tonight. They both did so good. They could probably do the show themselves. Maddie Xline from the Redbird cross country team and Katie Weimer-Skirch from the Redbird volleyball team. It's great to get to interview both of them, hear from them, hear about their respective sports. Thank Andrew Avola for coming on, talking about some college football.
Shout out AE, baby. Shout out Sauce.
The Sauce, right,
thanks,
man.
Sauce, thank boy. You, boys. I appreciate it.
You got some good
time.
Sauce, too. Yeah, hit up his pizza place.
Yeah,
just
definitely.
But we have three broadcasts. I'm just trying to get through it, boys. We have three broadcasts this weekend, starting at 9:50 a.m. tomorrow, ISU volleyball versus North Texas. 6:50 p.m., ISU volleyball versus the University of Illinois. Joe and I have that call. And at 1:50 on Saturday versus the University of Missouri. That's coming up all weekend on WZND. You're not going to want to miss that. Great coverage. We'll have some, hopefully have some live coverage from the cross country meet as well. Jose Sandoval will be reporting on that. That's all we have here on the Red Zone. If you missed any part of tonight's show, you can check it out on podcast form on our website on WZND.com. Thank you very much for listening. We'll hear you. See you next week.
To hear this and other past episodes of the Red Zone again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And of course, tune into the Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 1033 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.